This ACLU has no strategy to fight the war on terror at all. Everything the United States government does, everything they oppose. Everything. Nothing they like in defending ourselves against terrorists. Nothing. Now, Americans are going to have to rise up against this ACLU. I mean, we're just going to have to do it because this is an agency putting us all in danger. And I'll get into that in a little more, but let me give you the facts. And these are facts, not opinions. It's not an opinion-driven show today. No-fly list, remember that? National Transportation Safety Administration put a no-fly list of travelers who they considered a threat. ACLU sued, challenged it. Can't have a no-fly list. Okay, that's number one. Airline discrimination. So there were some people that were saying, well, look, if we have these guys and they just came in from Jordan or they came in from Oman, we're going to watch them closely, pull them aside, detain them, talk to them. ACLU sued. No, you can't do that. Patriot Act. No Patriot Act. Can't be listening on floating wiretaps like you do on drug dealers. Can't try to catch terrorists like that. Can't be looking at people checking out weird things in a library. Okay. Nope. Sued. More. You want more? All right, we got it.
Yeah. More.
Immigration. All right. ACLU sued, filed a federal lawsuit challenging an initiative by Ashcroft to enlist state and local police in the routine enforcement of federal immigration laws. No, can't do that. Can't have the local police or the state police help the feds enforce immigration laws. No way. Can't do it. Guantanamo Bay, all of them have to have civilian lawyers. No enemy combatants. No way. Come on. Come on. Every single thing the United States government tries to do to protect us against terrorism, these people oppose. And they'll sue, just like Christmas. Same thing. We'll sue you. Put the creche in the main part of town. Sing a Christmas carol. We'll sue you. Sue. So look, I'm declaring war on the ACLU. I think they're a terrorist group. They're terrorizing me and my family. They're terrorizing me. I think they're terrorists. Can I get some lawyers to help me out here? Can we sue them?
The law of the country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, December 22nd, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WAG Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech, and just by listening to this program, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself, don't you forget, are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. There's absolutely no problem with giving out Newsreel as a stocking stuffer. After all, you're a cheap bastard because none of you have any fucking money. So, speaking of which, let's get into some feedback straight off the top. You know what? I might have to turn up some of my levels here a little bit just to make sure that I'm all on par, because I don't have that annoying asshole Ronan Sariot hanging out with me today on the show, which he's been, you know, loitering last couple of days. That's a little bit better. I'm sure people can hear me a little bit more clearly now. little bit better. You know, good stuff. Now, let's get into some feedback. One piece of feedback from Belgium, which is always good. You know, the good Belgian people, they make nice rifles. Dear Sean, I've been following on the nanotech issue since I was 14. Of course, we have no idea when that was because we don't know your current age. When nanotechnology was considered simply as futurology, I'm now 21. Ah, okay, so the last 7 years. And to this day, I am fascinated by the concept that there is nanotech and it already can do what it can already can do and will also create. And everywhere I go, I mention nanotech. Hardly anybody knows of it or refers to it as merely theoretical. Funny thing is, check out what nanotech is doing to the high-tech industry. Yet somehow, I have to go to specific locations on the web to get all these sexy applications of nanotech. These last few years, the media has been very busy, and are not covering essential data people need to know about what technology can do. They should merely be confronted with the end product made by some company that gave it a certain application. I truly hope that the age of nano hackers appear, because we need a constant feed for our hunger and understanding what surrounds us. Oh, and I liked what you and Sim did in patrolling, by the way, very elegant stuff. Elegant. Ooh, peace out, AOI. And I believe he's from Belgium because, you know, that's what the email kind of said, BE on the back. So it's either Belgium, maybe Belgrade, could be Belfast, could be Beamer, could be Beirut. But I don't think anybody in Beirut has computers, so I'm not too sure. So that's, so thank you. Yeah, nanotechnology is something that we need to focus on. I mean, nanotechnology, there's a great company called, posse called the Foresight Institute. And they are pretty much the dudes who back in the day, last few years, have been on and on about nanotechnology. Because a lot of people are concerned that when nanotechnology hits, we're talking about the molecular reconstruction of material. We give you lead, it turns into gold, quite literally, because you can rearrange atoms and shit like that. And, of course, anybody who's ever played a good game of Rifts knows that nanites are the good things that are inside the juicers. You know, they help you repair your body a lot faster. A lot of crazy shit's going to change when the nanotechs hit the ground. And that's what the Foresight Institute was all talking about. They're like, hey, when this shit hits, what's going to happen? Like, what's the social impact going to be of nanotechnology? And would people agree? There's going to be those Luddites out there, those crazy Luddites, who wouldn't want to have, tiny little robots running around their bloodstream. They'd be concerned about that. It hurts when I pee. You know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons not to have crazy little robots running around your bloodstream, especially if they have RFID tags. So, you know, that's something to think about. Something to think about. Into the news! We've got some piracy is terrorism. You know, I gotta love the MPAA. With all their shit they're doing, they're like, yeah, if you steal music, clearly you're a terrorist. Well, you know, let's see who we're all heaping into the terrorism category, but that's what they seem to be claiming here. The music and film industries are demanding that the European Parliament extends the scope of proposed anti-terror laws to help them prosecute illegal downloaders. The music and film industries are demanding. We demand, motherfucker. We demand that shit. I think GSG9 should go have a conversation with the music and film industry and discuss with them their demands. In an open letter to MEPs, companies including Sony, BMG, Disney, EMI, and other satanic masses have asked to be given access to communications data, records of phone calls, emails, internet surfing, in order to take legal action against pirates and file sharers. So, you know, if you tell your buddy over, instant messaging that you got a movie, you know what, I'll loan it to you. Oh, you're damned. Truly fucked. Crazy. The scope and proposal should be extended to all criminal offenses, says a letter to the European representatives from the Creative and Media Business Alliance, an informal lobby group representing media companies. The possibility for law enforcement authorities to use data in other cases is essential. The attempt to pressure MEPs come as they prepare to vote on extension to the period which data must be held by telephone networks, internet service providers. The plans, championed by the British government, yes, the Gattaca Nation itself, would harmonize and extend the broad range of policies across the continent. The Home Office says such moves are necessary. We need to do this shit in order to assist proper investigation and suspect terrorist activity, like downloading Shrek. You Shrek-washing Al-Qaeda motherfucker! But if successful, it would mean communication companies would be obliged to keep information on phone calls, emails, internet use for as long as 3 fucking years ago. You know, 2 years ago, you told your buddy you'd loan him a copy of Rambo. Clearly, you're the enemy! You know, fuck off. But this is what they're talking about. This is their world. This is what they're on and on about. And, their application, I mean, of course they're going to say they want to do that because, you know, they're in the business of making money. They're the core political power structure. Ooh-rah, ooh-rah. You know, so you can't really fault them for trying to look after their own interests because they're evil. Other than the fact they're evil, you can go, well, you're evil. Okay, now that you're evil and we've determined that you're evil, yes, this is what you're doing. You know, okay, fair ball. However, for you to sit here and say, we demand that the government follow our company's policies, fuck that. What are you demanding that? You don't demand shit. You're lucky I let you do business in this country. As a matter of fact, fuck you. We're not enforcing copyright law. How do you like that, MPAA? Why don't you suck my ass? You know, seriously, that's what they're talking about doing in Russia. Oh, wow, look at that. Everybody's going to go into Russia to get their shit now. You know, the Music Picture and Motion Picture Association really needs to get their shit in check because these guys are not nearly as big in their britches as they think they are. And in cyber war news, a systematic effort. This is a great bit of spin. You ready for this one here? A systematic effort by hackers to penetrate U.S. governments and industry computer networks stems most likely, from Chinese military, the head of a leading security institute said. The leading, of a leading. How many are in the lead? How many are in the race? Is this a leading one? The attacks have been traced to a Chinese province of Guangdong, and the techniques used make it appear unlikely to come from any other source than the military. Really? This is according to Alan Pollard, the director of the SANS Institute, an education and research organization focusing on cybersecurity. Quote, these attacks come from someone with intense discipline. What? No other organization could do this if they were not a military organization. Okay, clearly, Shitpump here has no idea what's going on in the Army. Because, you know, they could be, but I'm just not agreeing with your data as to why you think it's the Army. Well, they're disciplined. Fuck off, clown. Pollard said in a conference, to announce a new cybersecurity education program. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. So he's starting a new education program, and China's out to get us. In the attacks, Pollard said the perpetrators were in and out with no keystroke errors and left no fingerprints. That's because it's over wires, you stupid fuck. And it created a backdoor in less than 30 minutes. Jesus Christ, 30 minutes? They must be professional. How can this be done by anyone other than a military organization? Well, there's a lot of kids who, you know, don't come out of the basement and they sort of can, you know, code shit with one hand tied behind their back. I would say it's probably a military organization because it took them 30 minutes to put in a fucking back door. You know, I know guys down at DEFCON who can pull that shit off in less than 4 minutes. But, whatever. You know, they'd probably be in and out of your system in less than 60 seconds if you really wanted to get fucking technical about it. And, I don't know how big your nuts are there, Pollard, but, do you honestly think that if the Chinese military was going to start hacking shit, you'd be able to catch them? I don't think so, because they got some pretty switched-on people over there. So, you know, I think that you're full of shit. Pollard said that despite what appears to be systematic effort to target government agencies and defense contractors, defenses have remained weak in many areas. We know about major penetrations of our defense contractors. Yeah, we know all about the penetration of defense contractors. Security among private sector Pentagon contractors may not be as robust, said Pollard, because they're less willing to make it hard for mobile people to get their work done. Ah, I see. So, you know, oh, well, it gets in the way. You know, so what? We're, you know, got these plans for these surface-to-air missiles. Who gives a shit? Pollard said the U.S. government strategy appears to downplay the attacks, which has not helped the situation. U.S. government's, yeah, because the U.S. government's all about downplaying terrorist threat. We have a problem that our computer networks have been terribly and deeply penetrated throughout the United States. This guy's fixating. Deeply penetrated. Terrible penetration. Yes, it's goatsy. And we've been keeping it secret, he said. The people who benefit from keeping it secret are the attackers. I'm glad he didn't say the terrorists, because, you know, other than saying the attackers, you know, we gotta keep those terrorists up there. Of course, China wouldn't be a terrorist, would they? They'd just be the enemy, because this is what they're trying to class China as. There's terrorists and enemy terrorists, as opposed to the friendly terrorists, which, you know, are the CIA. In cloning news, a South Korean cloning pioneer has admitting fabricating results in key stem cells research, a colleague claims. So, he's not really a cloning pioneer, he's a cloning fraud artist. At least 9 of 11 stem cell colonies used in a landmark research paper by Dr. Hwang Wok-suk were fake, said Rossing Il, who collaborated on the paper. Dr. Hwang wants the U.S. Journal of Science to withdraw his paper on stem cell cloning, Mr. Rose said. Dr. Hwang, who was reported to be receiving hospital treatment for stress, was not available for comment. Interesting. Science could not confirm whether it received a request to retract the paper. Dr. Huang's paper have been hailed as a breakthrough, opening the possibility of cures for degenerative diseases. Now, this is where we get the conspiracy going on. You know, would they be interested in curing degenerative diseases, especially in China, where, you know, they have a population problem, where, you know, suddenly if you start getting rid of these degenerative diseases, you got more people. So maybe there's something more to this. Dun, dun, dun. Mr. Rowe, chairman of the Mizmedi Hospital and co-author of the report, told South Korean TV and newspapers that Dr. Huang, I love that guy's name, Dr. Huang, who wants Huang, had admitted flager flaws, admitted major flaws, had admitted cornflakes in his research, published in June to the International Acclaim. Last month, Dr. Huang resigned from his post as head of the World Stem Cell Hub. World Stem Cell Hub. After it emerged that some of the eggs used in his research were donated by his staff, a contravention of international guidelines. Well, who gives a fuck where the eggs came from? Now, if some of the research itself is being called into question. Professor Huang admitted to fabrication, Mr. Rowe told. Why isn't, you know, this Mr. Rowe guy is talking a lot of shit. Why? Where's Huang? Oh, he's on stress leave. No, you got him locked in a fucking jail somewhere pumped full of shit. Anyway, he told South Korea's NBC television networks after viewing him in the hospital. Dr. Huang's paper claimed to have produced 11 stem cells from cloned human embryos. Well, correct my math, but if 9 of them were fake, that still meant that he produced 2, didn't he? But Mr. Rowe has said scientists working on Dr. Huang's laboratory was pressured into doctoring results in order to make the embryos look like clones. Those South Korean dog-eating fuckers. Well, you know, I guess they're saying that it's a, you know, it's a scam. It's a ripoff, we didn't mean it, da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, it seems kind of odd that a scientist would do that. You know, I mean, what do you think, that he wouldn't be discovered? You know, I mean, these guys are pretty smart. So if he's going to fake some shit like that, why would he jump out on the international stage with a hoax that he knows is going to utterly fuck him up? Oh, he went crazy. He went crazy, crazy, crazy. Well, where is he now? Oh, he's in the hospital. Can we talk to him? Nope, nope, he's gone. Oh, shit, he died in the hospital. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Of course, you know, Korea doesn't have a history of doing kind of shady shit or anything. Not at all. Wait. Yes, they do. So this is the kind of thing that makes my little danger sense go, what are you talking about there? What the fuck are you talking about? Things are a little bit fuzzy on this one. Now, in crazy news, crazy, people can't be crazy no more. Experts are now predicting that the global incidence of Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia will soar in the next few decades, especially in developing countries. Everybody's going to go fucking bonkers. This is obviously because we have the pharmacom companies, you know, cranking out new definitions of unless you act exactly this way, you're fucking wonkers and you need pills. That prediction is made by an international group of 12 experts, two of them American, which means that at least two of them are good, right? Because if they're two American, why the fuck did they say that? Two of them were American. Well, that means that it's not corrupt. Who are provided with a systematic review of published studies on dementia by Alzheimer's Disease International, a London-based organization. So we trust London, we trust America. Good, good, good. We estimate that 24.3 million people have dementia today, with 4.6 million new cases of dementia every year. Jesus. The experts report in December 17th issue of The Lancet. Quote, the number of people with dementia will double every 20 years to 8.1 million by 2040. Okay. Well, I 81.1 million people will have dementia. 81.1 million people, demented motherfuckers. Now, that's more than the population of Canada. So maybe we could, like, make, like, Dementia Land. We could make, like, a Wonderland kind of country somewhere, and we could put all the dementia people there. And then, like, all the pharmacom companies could just fly overhead and bomb them with pills. That'd be good. The number of... My dog is making fucked up noises. Ranger? You will not make any more sounds, or I will send you to South Korea. That's right. Talk shit now, motherfucker. Anyway, back to this story here. We believe that the detailed estimates of this paper can constitute the best currently available basis for policymaking, planning on the allocation of health and welfare resources. The prediction is very much in line with the forecast made 2 years ago from the United States by the Alzheimer's Association, said Maria Ciccarello, the organization's director of medical and scientific affairs. Isn't this creative? Isn't this very creative? I don't know if I believe in a lot of this stuff. As to, I mean, of course, there are people with Alzheimer's. There are people with dementia. Of course, there's a lot of theories going on saying that beef, of course, is totally corrupt. It's been completely tainted by mad cow disease. And if you notice, there's a lot of, in medical circles, there's a lot of people who do not want and will not, are not interested in any way of doing autopsies on people with Alzheimer's because they're claiming that Alzheimer's is actually mad cow disease. When you look at the symptoms between the two, I mean, they're pretty similar. You know what I mean? And, you know, mad cow disease can sit dormant for like 20 fucking years. All of a sudden, people start going crazy, crazy, crazy. Now, why in the fuck would your, you know, people be going bonkers, doubling every 20 years? Is that a population thing? No. Is it mostly in developing countries? Why would that be? Why would the developing countries have more dementia when it's been shown in previous studies, which we've covered on the program before, that usually people who are schizophrenic and shit like that have a better go in third world nations because of tighter family structures and things of this nature? Could it be that because we're engaging most of the third world in slave wage practices, the family units over there are completely dissolving and people are going fucking bonkers? We are working the third world into insanity because, well, I mean, that's one option. Maybe it's the cows. You know, maybe they're not mad cows. Maybe they're just really angry. You know, I mean, who knows? But it's something to look at. I mean, fuck. There's something definitely wrong with this situation. They're not saying why that shit's happening. They're just saying that, oh, yeah, you know, lots of dementia. Good for business. What the hell? So my answer to that is, what's the cause? Now in Patriot news, I got some good news here. This is some interesting. Well, this is some good news. Good news. The Senate in the United States has handed President George W. Bush, King Bush II, and Republican leaders a huge defeat. It rejected an attempt to renew key provisions of the Patriot Act that expired at the end of the year. Opponents argue the bill doesn't have enough safeguards and infringes on too much privacy of the Americans. Senate supporters of the bill were 8 votes short of the 60 votes needed to clear the parliamentary hurdle. A coalition of Senate Democrats and some Republicans had threatened to filibuster a congressional agreement to renew key portions of the act. Bush, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, and Republican congressional leaders had lobbied hard to make most of the expiring Patriot Act provisions permanent. But opponents said the act still allowed police too much leeway to delve into the private lives of Americans. White House spokesman Scott McClellan said the U.S. can't afford to be without the terror-fighting provisions of the Patriot Act for a single moment. 20 seconds of that shit and we're fucked. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid proposed a 3-month extension to allow Congress time to add protections for civil liberties. Reid says liberty and security are not contradictory, but they do rhyme. However, McKellen said prior to the vote that Bush would not sign a short-term extension of the current anti-terror laws, and the Senate quickly scrapped that idea. Dun, dun, dun! So it looks like a victory for the left, you know, or for, you know, freedom-loving, peaceful, private people all over the world. It seems that the Patriot Act might actually wind up getting shit-canned, 5 years, 6 years after it came in? Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing not to have everybody under a microscope. Maybe that's all right. Maybe it's okay not to have a big brother state. Maybe that's good. Now, in the interest of remaining balanced, of course, I've been campaigning against the Patriot Act for quite some time. Lots of shows talk about how bad it is. But what does this mean now from the other side? What does this mean now? Does this mean that now the United States can't have, you know, wiretaps can't do their job? Is that going to actually hurt us? I guess time will tell. I suppose if I was a conspiracy theorist, I would think that it's just about time for another major attack on the United States. You know, it's just about time to have a nuclear bomb go off in some small, easily sacrificed middle America community somewhere. Nuked. Oh my God. 50,000 dead. All glowing. All because of these terrorists, which we will apprehend very, very shortly and then execute publicly on television by drawing and quartering them. Yes. Yes, the terrorism strike could be coming again so that we could renew our convictions to drive these fuckers home. See what I'm saying? Could happen. Something to think about. So, but, you know, not to sour the freedom of the day, we have defeated the Patriot Act. Now then, not that that matters, mind you, because of this next story. In surveillance news, President Bush has personally authorized secret eavesdropping program in the United States to more than three dozen times. So Bush himself, George himself said, yes, this secret operation more than three dozen times. So like 36 times since October 2001, a senior intelligence official said Friday night. The disclosure follows angry demands by lawmakers earlier in the day for congressional inquiries into whether the monitoring by the highly secretive National Security Agency violated civil liberties. There is no doubt that this is inappropriate, declared Republican Senator Arlene Specter of Pennsylvania, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He promised Arlene Specter. He promised hearings early next year. Bush on Friday refused to discuss whether he'd authorize such domestic spying without obtaining warrants from a court, saying that the comment would tie his hands in fighting terrorists. Which, you know, he probably did exactly comment. If I comment, I'll tie my hands in fighting terrorists. George, I don't think you've actually fought anybody. As a matter of fact, you weren't in Nam either. In a broad defense of the program put forward hours later, however, a senior intelligence official told the Associated Press that the eavesdropping was narrowly designed to go after possible terrorist threats in the United States. But being as we don't really have a very strong definition of what terrorism is, that could mean fucking anything. Official said that since October 2001, the program has been renewed more than three dozen times. Each time, the White House counsel and the Attorney General certified the lawfulness of the program, the officials said. Bush then signed the authorizations. During the reviews, government officials have also provided a fresh assessment of the terrorist threats, showing that there was a catastrophic risk to the country or the government. Catastrophic risk! Jesus. Only if those conditions apply do we even begin to think about this. The official spoke on condition of anonymity because of the classified nature of the intelligence operation. So clearly, you know, who's ever running operational security for the Pentagon is not doing a very good fucking job, because these guys are leaking docs all over the place. The president has authorized the NSA to fully use its resources. Let me underscore this now. Consistent with the U.S. law and the U.S. Constitution to defend the United States and its citizen, the official said. Adding that congressional leaders have also been briefed more than a dozen times. Senior administration officials asserted the president would do everything in his power to protect the American people while safeguarding civil liberties. Interesting. I will make this point, Bush said in an interview with the NewsHour with Jim Lahir, or Lahir, or however the fuck you say his name, Lahir. To whatever I do to protect the American people, and I have an obligation to do so, that we will uphold the law. The decisions made are understanding that we have an obligation to protect the civil liberties of the American people. Well, isn't that nice? So, it seems that Bush, you know, and to be honest with you, I'm so incredibly fucking jaded. I am so incredibly jaded, unbelievably jaded, that I think that Bush really doesn't give a shit. You know, I think that they don't even tell you. You know, if you think that, you know, you've got all this protection and everything, maybe that's why they're letting this Patriot Act fall by the wayside. Maybe we've fallen so far now that it's like, yeah, well, we'll just say that we're not wiretapping people. And then they won't be so concerned with security, and we'll be able to apprehend more people and then get legal evidence we could use to put them behind bars, but we just want to find the good people right now, even though we can't use it as in evidence in court. You know, people seem to think that the world is run by lawyers. The world is not run by lawyers. Peaceful society is run by lawyers. The world is ruled largely by people with money, guns, and drugs, or some combination of those three. People who control the drugs generally have a lot of money. You know, it's like Scarface. First you get the drugs, then you get the money, then you get the women. This is how it works. It's unfortunate, but it's the cold, hard fact of reality. So when I see this, I think, yay! You know, on one hand, we defeated the Patriot Act. On the other hand, Bush doesn't seem to fucking care because he'll just go and authorize shit anyhow. So that doesn't mean to let your guard down. That means to just, you know, be aware the U.S. does not care. Now, in a deeply disturbing story coming out of Japan. Imagine that. Disturbing shit out of Japan. What are the odds? In Tokyo, they are called, let me try this one on for side, Ikshin Kuragi. and they sound like monsters from the trashier reaches of the Japanese science fiction. They are 6 feet wide and weigh 450 pounds, or 200 kilograms if you actually know what the fuck that means. With countless poisonous tentacles, they have drifted across the void to terrorize the people of Japan. Vast armadas of the slimy horrors have cut off the country's food supply. As soon as one is killed, more appear to take its place. Finally, the quarrelsome governments of the region are banding together to unite against this enemy. I'm not making this shit up. Ichin Karagi is not an extraterrestrial invader, but a giant jellyfish that is devastating the livelihoods of fishermen in the Sea of Japan. Numura's jellyfish, as it is known in English, is the biggest creature of its kind off Japan, and for reasons that remain mysterious, the numbers have surged within the last few months. So we got giant jellyfish attacking Japan. The problem has been so serious that fishery officials from Japan, China, and South Korea, Jesus, are to meet this month for the Jellyfish Summit to discuss strategies for dealing with the invasion. Japan's ruling Liberal Democratic Party has formed a jellyfish countermeasures committee, and fishermen are at work on technology to keep the marauders out of their nets. This would be terrifying shit, because like a 450-pound jellyfish, you pull that shit out of the water in a net, you know, I mean, you've got to get that on board your boat. That is going to fuck you up. And they're practically, like, invisible underwater. I mean, if you're not looking for them from above, you're in a bad way. A 450-pound jellyfish, that'll put you on your ass, man. Like, that could probably fucking kill you. The article goes on to say that the problem first became obvious in the late summer. In the late summer, when fishermen chasing anchovies, salmon, and yellowtail began finding huge numbers of the jellyfish in their nets. Now, you got to think, like, this must be pretty goddamn big nets in order to, you know, be finding 450. And what a thing to find. You know, you pull up out of the water, that's all, like, you know, making that weird clicky sound that you get from science fiction movies and lashing out, grabbing fucking guys, picking them up, throwing them off the sides of the ship. That's some scary shit. Often, the weight of the Ichizen Kuga broke the nets or crushed fish to death. Those that survived were poisoned and beslimed by the tentacles. Jesus, there's a word. It's beslimed. It beslimes you. Fishermen on the northern tip of Honshu, Japan, main island, were forced to suspend work at the height of the lucrative salmon season. In Akitapita Prefecture, some of the communities saw their incomes fall by 80%. The Gizzard Shad Fishers of South Korea. Wow, there's a band name, eh? We're the Gizzard Shad Fishers of South Korea. Have also been plagued by the Nomuras. In some places, now listen to this. In some places, jellyfish density is reported to be 100 times higher than normal. Worst of all, no one yet understands why. Now, this is getting weird. Not only are they like the largest, I think they sound like they're the largest jellyfish in the world. You know, they don't know why they're attacking Japan, which is one of the most, let's look at this from a human perspective, one of the most heavily populated regions in the world. A lot of light coming off there, can be seen at night. One theory is that global warming is heating up the seawater and encouraging jellyfish breeding. Just a shot in the dark. Now, this is a very big problem. Of all the news stories we've come across on the show, this looks to me to be the closest thing to an attack. I mean, realistically, you've got an army here. They fucking besieged our most populated island in the world. There's more population density. I mean, you can't really get jellyfish, you know, besieging China. So realistically, Japan would seem to be actually under attack from giant jellyfish. I mean, it's right there. Nobody knows why. And they're not just like, you know, little jellyfish. It's not like, oh, it's a breeding problem. These are 450-pound, 6-foot jellyfish. Not to mention the tentacles. Jesus, can you imagine? The tentacles. Little kids running along the beaches, you know, and all of a sudden, ah! Gone. And you can just see these, you know, totally see-through, spineless motherfuckers crawling out of the sea, you know. I've never seen that, but I think there's a National Geographic where sometimes jellyfish will come up out of the waves and grab seals. I've seen that. They'll come up and then they smack them around in the water for a while. Sick and weird. And this is a big problem, and this is getting no press. There's not a lot of people talking about this problem. And it's clearly a big one. 450 pounds each of a problem, and you kill one, and two more are right there. Right there. Structured. Rank, file. Like a Roman fucking legion, these jellyfish are attacking Japan. And to talk about this problem, I brought in a senior university student from UBC's Oceanography Division. And Sir Robin Nevison, thank you very much for being on the show.
Great to be here, Sean.
Okay, so you're going to have to make sure you speak into the mic because my mics right. are shit. But now, what do you know about these particular nasty-ass jellyfish? You know, what do you know about these guys?
Well, you find with a lot of giant jellyfish, Sean, that they're actually not just one entity. They're actually just made up of a lot of smaller jellyfish. Here, I've got a mic problem.
Yeah, I've got a mic problem here. What's going on with this? No, it's working.
All right.
Just got to talk into the mic a little bit better.
There we go. Yeah, anyway, as I was saying, a lot of times jellyfish, like large ones, especially like the Portuguese man of war, they're actually made up of very specialized organisms all living together in like kind of a symbiotic relationship. You'll find like one jellyfish is like the stomach part of the jellyfish, and then another one is like the tentacle parts, and they all kind of work together, and no one's really 100% sure on how they evolve that way. But
Well, so you're telling me that these jellyfish aren't even like one creature?
Yeah, they could be all working together.
That's twisted. That's totally fucking bizarre. What a completely... Okay, so is this the largest jellyfish, or have there been larger ones sighted?
There's, I don't know, maybe by mass, perhaps they're the largest, but I know by length, at least there's jellyfish that are about 100 foot long that live, you know, they float in the water column for about 100 feet, and they just entrap everything pretty much, larger than a mackerel and smaller than, I don't know, a dolphin.
Okay. So here's a theory for you. You tell me about whether or not you like this theory. Let me know if you think this is feasible at all, okay? Now, since these jellyfish now are basically symbiotic creatures, okay? They exist, they live, they breathe. They're actually a combination of creatures. So however they kind of communicate back and forth, maybe these creatures are actually like somehow hooked into the planet in some way. You know what I mean? Now, as everybody knows, there's three times as much water on the planet there is land. You know, so realistically, the ocean is three times larger than Earth, really, because when you look at the land mass, right? So it's kind of funny that the whole planet is called Earth, because quite clearly it should be called ocean. But anyway, is it possible that this could be the first wave of some kind of an invading army? Like, could this be something from the deep? Because a lot of people are saying, you know, clearly, I mean, they're kind of weird. They're totally an alien creature. I mean, there's nothing on the planet even remotely close to this. And now they're attacking the island with the most sentient life.
Well, Sean, you know, scientists don't rule out anything, right, until it's proven that it's not a fact. So
it could be.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be.
It could be.
It's interesting to keep in mind that although the Japanese business, they make a lot of money, they have like one of the laxest environmental laws in the world for developed countries. Absolutely. They put a lot of stuff in the
ocean. I never even thought about that angle. Maybe, in fact, whoever is calling the shots, maybe these bigger jellyfish have sent the smaller, which is a terrifying concept, 450-pound jellyfish to attack Japan.
Exactly. I mean, also in Japan, you have to remember that they have the largest spider crabs in the world as well. They're about 6 foot across the shell. So imagine, you know, a normal crab, but one that probably weighs about 400 pounds.
Good God.
Yeah, exactly.
So what would be, you know, for those WOGs out there who are listening to the program, what should we do if we think we could be in danger of a jellyfish attack? You know, I mean, if, you know, you're going out, you're getting your mail in your morning and you're like, fuck, jellyfish. What do you do?
To be honest, Sean, unless you live on a houseboat or something, they're probably not going to be a danger to you.
Yeah, but you just said you don't even know how these fucking things communicate with each other. You don't know. We don't really know their capabilities.
Once they're out of the water, they can't move. They're not like...
Are you sure?
Yes, they're not like octopus. They have no bones. They're just like big piles of jelly. They're called jellyfish for a reason. They don't have no muscle structure, so all they have to do is float around. They have no control of how they move, right? They just kind of contract a little bit, and there's a little bit of movement, but really on land, they're just big piles of goo. They're not even like the blob, which will, you know, chase you down and envelop you. They can't.
So they probably weren't picking up fishermen and throwing them into the water or anything.
Unlikely. Very unlikely that they were grabbing fishermen, eating them, that kind of stuff. They're probably just making a nuisance because of their mass.
Sir Robin Nevison, thank you very much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
And speaking of alien invaders, let's get into some Scientology news. And Scientology news. A legal battle that the Church of Scientology has conducted against XS4ALL and Karen Spank has reached its grand finale today. The Dutch Supreme Court dismissed Scientology's claims, which means that a decade of legal skirmishes has finally come to an end. Ooh, fucking raw. The Supreme Court decided that the previous ruling, which was in favor of Access for All and Spake, still holds. Scientology lost again. Freedom of speech prevailed over the alleged copyright of Scientology Church, and Spank can quote from Scientology's higher and supposedly secret course levels. In July of this year, a few days before the Supreme Court was to rule upon the case, Scientology suddenly dropped its appeal. Access for All and Spank formally objected to this withdrawal, as it is a known Scientology tactic to draw out its legal battles and to suddenly drop them when it appears they will lose the case. The Supreme Court accepts the cult's withdrawal, strong wording here, thereby preempting the need for a legal evaluation of the case. Attorney General Verkat had advised a different strategy. He wanted the Supreme Court to accept Scientology's withdrawal while still judging the merits of the case. Earlier, Verkat had advised the Supreme Court to dismiss all Scientology's claims against Access for All and Spank. Apparently, the Supreme Court thinks that it needn't add its own assessment to the previous courts. All in all, Access for All and Spank have gained 4 victories: summary proceedings, full proceedings, appeal, dismissal of appeal. After more than 10 years of legal battling, freedom of speech has finally prevailed. Criticism on the internet cannot be quenched by appealing to copyright. This is a big story for squelching Scientology. Because of the Supreme Court has accepted Scientology's withdrawal, the church cannot turn to the European Court, and the European Court is the only recourse when all national means have been explored and Scientology was too afraid to do so. This means that the battle is over and has been won by Access for All and Spank. Access for All and Spank will celebrate this victory during the Access for All Festival on Freedom of Speech on the Internet on the afternoon of Saturday, the 28th of January, at the Melkweg. For more information on the festival, see the website. And as well, you can get the T-shirt, which says Final Victory, which you can purchase from their website. Get in there. I think it's all in Dutch. Good luck with that. Try to run it through Google Translator. Kind of interesting stuff. Now, in body bank news, up to 7 Australians have received kidney transplants from death row prisoners executed in China. Isn't this nice? The Daily Telegraph can reveal. They're among dozens of Australians who traveled overseas to buy organs in India and Asia, paying between $15,000 and $50,000 for the transplants. But a number of those who've had the operations became seriously ill on their return, suffering infections or other complications after undergoing surgery in third world hospitals. Monash Medical Center's Dr. Ian Mean said, "I'm aware of one patient who has a lethal virus. As a consequence, I've only seen 2 patients who are very sick." At least 2 people from the NSW have received kidney transplants in China, believed to have come from executed prisoners in recent years, along with 3 Victorians and 1 patient from both South Australia and Queensland. Dr. Main said a blowout in Australian waiting list for kidneys that are currently about 16,000 people awaiting transplants, or pardon me, 1,600 people awaiting transplants, meant that more people are now willing to take their chances and pay for kidneys overseas. I believe one of the patients that I am aware of had the process through an executed Chinese prisoner, but the patient themselves wasn't sure. The patients are often reluctant to give details because they are aware that there's something that is frowned upon. One transplant surgeon said he had to remove a kidney transplanted into an Australian in Iraq or Iran several years ago because the organ was not plumbed properly. Yeah. Another specialist, Dr. Shlomo Cooney, was aware of 5 or 6 patients who had paid for organs overseas. Dr. Cooney said that some had returned with wounds still open after being discharged prematurely from hospital with post-operative complications. Nasty. Monash Medical Center transplant physician Dr. John Canales said he had successfully discouraged up to 3 patients from undergoing overseas transplants in the past year. Most of the Chinese prisoner organs are taken at the Chai Kwing Military Hospital, with the condemned prisoner being allowed to die under anesthetic after the organs are removed rather than facing a firing squad. Fucking nice. Chinese officials have previously claimed that some of the money paid by the recipients is given to the family of the deceased and the organs can only be harvested with the family and prisoner consent. Unlikely. Amnesty International has accused China which executes 5,000 or more prisoners a year of taking organs without family knowledge. Transplant Australia director Mark Cox arranged himself, who himself arranged to pay $10,000 to an Indian family in early 1990s for a kidney before receiving a transplant from his sister, said he had no ethical problem with commercial transplantation because of the long wait, an average of 4 years, for transplants within Australia. So yeah, ethics are all good until it's your ass on the line, and then that shit goes right out the fucking window. Oh yeah. Yeah, we don't want to be waiting, so we'll just kill these other motherfuckers and take their organs. Yeah, but they'll okay it. They say it's okay, so that's okay. Body bank much. And in information news, a senior at UMass Dartmouth was visited by federal agents 2 months ago after he requested a copy of Mao Zedong's tome on communism called The Little Red Book. This is a weird story. I got it off of Guerrilla News Network, and it seems kind of weird. Two history professors at UMass Dartmouth, Brian Glenn Williams and Robert Portman, said the student told them he requested the book through the UMass Dartmouth Library interlibrary loan program. The student, who is completing a research paper on communism for Professor Point Brand's class on fascism and totalitarianism, filled out a form of the request, leaving his name, address, phone number, social security number. He was later visited at his parents' home in New Bedford by two agents of the Department of Homeland Security. This is what the professor said. Now, at this point I go, what? The professor said the student was told by the agents that the book was on a watch list and that his background, which included significant time abroad, triggered them to investigate the student further. Huh? I tell my students to go directly to the source. So he asked for the official Peking version of the book, Professor Poinbrand said. Apparently, the Department of Homeland Security is monitoring interlibrary loans because that's what triggered the visit, as I understand it. I would wonder if this kid's paper was done on time. I would wonder if he turned it in on time, or if this kid just made this shit up saying the Department of Homeland Security fucked with me and this story's been blown out of proportion, because I'm having a hard time believing this. Although the Standard Times knows the name of the student, he is not coming forward because he fears repercussions should his name become public. He has not spoken to the Standard Times. So we have no evidence that the student actually fucking exists. We just got these two profs saying, yeah, our student was approached. The professors have been asked to comment on the report that President Bush had authorized the National Security Agency to spy on as many as 500 people at any given time since 2002 in the country. The eavesdroppings were apparently done without warrants. The Little Red Book is a collection of quotations and speech excerpts from Chinese leader Mao Zedong. In the 1950s and 60s, during the Cultural Revolution in China, it was required reading. Although the abridged versions are available, the student asked for a version translated directly from the original book. The student told Professor Pointbrand and Dr. Williams that Homeland Security agents told him the book was on the watch list. They brought the book with them and did not leave it with the student, the professor said. So, this whole story seems kind of fucked up to me. Dr. Williams said his research, he regularly contacts people in Afghanistan, Chechnya, and other Muslim hotspots, and suspects some of his calls are monitored. Well, yeah, if a guy's phoning Afghanistan, Chechnya, and other Muslim hotspots, you would think that his calls should be monitored. My instinct is there's a lot more monitoring than we think. Well, dude, I mean, you throw out this totally fantastic story about a guy's jacking this kid up on a book that isn't even that risky. You know, I don't know. It seems kind of fishy to me. Today's daily hack, I got a good one for you, is called Metro. Technically speaking, Metro is a radius and proximity-based software. Untechnically speaking, it finds like-minded people who are around you instantly, wherever you are. So whether you're in a town or out of town, Metro gets you on the town with old friends or new acquaintances. Now, Agent Subversion, who sent me this link, talked to the development team, and they're planning to provide a group source for this. This means that the WOGs could generate WOG groups. And if you get a list of people sorted by distance into IM, this includes AIM, ICQ. Still, it's really in early development, but they need more people to get it on for the beta to work. So this is very, very cool. We're going to have instant messaging, and it actually shows people's locations. So we have things like the Frapper. So the WOG movement can expand and keep growing. Now, when I saw this, and there's a lot of guys out there who are getting involved with the WOGs. Agent Subversion, you know, Alex, another buddy of mine, Vavrick. All these guys are, you know, as I am beginning to, you know, maybe step down a little bit, other guys are beginning to step up to the forefront to kind of carry on with the WOG thing. But I would like to stipulate there's one concern that I have, that somebody more charismatic than I am is going to come along and claim, you know, leadership of the walks, you know. And then all these people who started with the concept of just being free-thinking individuals are going to somehow allow themselves to be corralled by social profiteers and social scientists into this sort of power-based power structure group for their own personal gain. This is wrong. Okay, you should never follow just one person ever. You should have multiple sources at all times. You should be thinking for yourself. This is what the whole WOG thing is about. I'm a big fan of directional chaos. Directional chaos is a concept where, although people are using different means, we're all working towards the same goal. This is like a multi-pronged attack against the problems of the world. If everyone tries to do things just one way, it may not work. But if everyone tries to do it their way, one way will work and the problem will get solved. Even though we may not agree with tactics, that's a major problem that Sim and I have. We were largely in agreement of most things. It's the tactics that seem to get in the way. So I'm all about the directional chaos. I'm all about the WOGs using directional chaos to make the world a better place. I would just request that everybody make sure you don't follow blindly any one person, especially not me or anybody else, because that's how you get fascist shit going on with like Hitler and all that kind of jazz. Not so good. Not so good. Could be dangerous. I do like benevolent dictators. I think it's a good idea, but it's kind of hard to come across one. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 62 people. 2 new donators, 10 one-time donators, and 50 continuing donators for the month of November. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, or it'll be a weekly newscast after December, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because every little bit helps. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the Crystal Method album, Tweaked. And I'm going to leave you now with a track I hereby dedicating to jellyfish everywhere as they attack Japan. Wham! Wake me up before you go-go. So, until tomorrow, that is what server said. End of line. Jitterbug. Jitterbug. Jitterbug.
Jitterbug. You put the boom boom into my heart. You see my soul sky high when your loving starts. Jitterbug into my brain. Yeah, yeah. It goes to bang, bang, bang. Till my feet do the same. But something's bright. Out of my way, yeah.